Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
In the whole of the Northeast, there's less than 1% of what's called old-growth forest left, forest land that's grown largely undisturbed for several centuries. These ancient forests provide critical habitat for animals and plants and help mitigate flooding. A new study finds harvesting trees in a way that mimics the way nature takes out trees in old-growth forests not only restores some of this habitat, but also allows these forests to store a surprising amount of carbon. Reporter Kathleen Masterson checked out how scientists engineer an old-growth forest.
All right, we're going to go off trail here a little bit.
It's a pleasantly sunny afternoon at the 500-acre University of Vermont Jericho Research Forest in northern Vermont. UVM forest ecologist Bill Keaton is literally walking me through his 15-year experiment. Using tree shears and backhoes, the researchers have engineered several plots of this middle-aged forest to look much more like an old-growth forest. More on that in a second. First, Keaton takes me to the control plot. It's 5 acres of untouched trees. The idea here is to measure how the forest would have grown if scientists hadn't tinkered with it.
So all the trees are roughly the same age. There's a single layer in the canopy. There aren't a lot of interesting habitat features like dead and dying trees that are important for wildlife. It's just very uniform, homogeneous.
All the trees in the study are about 150 years old. But in some plots, Keaton is trying to change their characteristics to mimic old growth forest conditions. Keaton says he's trying to take these middle-aged trees and
kind of nudge them along towards an older, more architecturally complex condition.
After about a 10-minute walk of crunching through the forest floor duff, we get to the, quote, old-growth section of the forest. Keaton uses a longer technical term for it.
So you're coming into one of the structural complexity enhancement units, and I want to see if you notice any changes as we walk in.
Okay.
Anything look different to you?
Well, I do see an overturned giant stump, whatever you called that habitat.
This is a tip-up mound. So we made this, and I'm particularly proud of it.
A roughly 60-foot tree has been knocked down onto the forest floor, creating a tip-up mound, a flare-up of roots and dirt, and the cave-like ditch left underneath. This creates a new niche habitat in the tipped-up roots. This would happen naturally over time, usually from wind or storms. But in this case, the researchers pulled over the tree using a cable.
We needed to take it down to free up growing space for other trees, like that one right there, that nice big one that we're trying to crown release, so that one can grow to a really big size. And in doing this, we create this great down log, which is habitat now for amphibians, small mammals, and vertebrates.
The researchers also girdled some tree limbs to create dead branch snags, which provide key animal habitat. Other trees were selectively harvested to create gaps in the canopy, letting in sunlight to the forest floor. The engineering technique succeeded in creating diverse habitats, but the kicker, Keaton says, it has also allowed the forest to store a significant amount of carbon. That's key to fighting climate change. Now, forests that are left alone, with no trees harvested, usually store the most carbon. But Keaton's study is finding that it is possible to manage a forest to maximize carbon capture and still keep it a working forest.
This greater amount of carbon storage, as compared to the conventional treatments, was actually a combination of having left more trees behind in the first place and growth rates that were actually 10% higher in this treatment as compared to the conventional harvest. And that was really surprising.
Keaton says after 10 years, the old-growth forest management plot stored nearly as much carbon as the unlogged control forest.
This does not just have to be a science project. This is a very, potentially very practical tool that many forest owners could use.
That's Fred Clark, the director of the National Forest Stewards Guild. Clark says Keaton's work shows landowners who are interested in managing their forests for habitat and biodiversity that they can do that and still make some income from the land, both from harvesting select trees and...
We have forests, primarily large forest ownerships throughout the country, are now taking advantage of the California carbon market by developing and registering what are called carbon projects or carbon offset projects.
It's not just California. Quebec also has a market where forest landowners can sell carbon credits, though these markets are still in their infancy. Back at the woods at Jericho, Vermont, Keaton says he was surprised that the old growth management technique actually brought in decent revenue.
So that was promising to us. Now, in absolute terms, again, we harvested about 60 to 80% less volume. This is not going to maximize your commercial revenue. It's just not. But in the right situation, for the right type of landowner, depending on their objectives, it might be something that they could consider.
And if carbon markets continue to grow in the future, that would add even more financial incentive. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Kathleen Masterson.